The book Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy was released last month by HarperCollins. It follows four Civil War spies, and all of them are women. Karen Abbott, the book's author and historian, spoke last night at the Teton County Public Library and will be leading a workshop in nonfiction writing there today. I spoke with Abbott about her book, and she told me how she discovered the lives of these four women.
I was living in Atlanta, and of course, it was a bit of a culture shock having moved down from the north, just getting used to the idea that the Civil War was still being fought down there. You know, it seeps into daily life and conversation in a way it never does up north, and I would suspect that the way it never does in Wyoming either. And one of my husband's colleagues' young daughter actually dressed up like Belle Boyd for a school project, which really struck me as funny and odd. Belle Boyd was a 17-year-old Confederate girl living in the Shenandoah Valley, Virginia, when the war broke out. And she was really funny to me. She was all id. She had no filter. And she was incredibly overt with both her opinions and her sexuality, especially for that time period and especially for her age. I like to say, if Miley Cyrus and Sarah Palin had a 19th century baby, it would have been Belle Boyd. And she was a firecracker. And once I had her, I wanted to find three other women who sort of balanced her out. And I thought Rose Greenhalgh, who was older and who Belle actually idolized, was sort of a very serious Confederate spy. And then on the Union side, I came across Emma Edmonds, who disguised herself as a man and enlisted as Private Frank Thompson in the Union Army. And Elizabeth Van Loo, who was an abolitionist woman living in the Confederate capital of Richmond, Virginia, and operated a far-reaching northern espionage ring, even going so far as to place a former family slave as a spy in the Confederate White House, and was quite a dangerous operation.
This book reads like a novel, but is completely factual and is clearly very well researched. Can you tell me a little bit about your research and writing process?
Sure. I spent 5 years researching this book and enjoyed every minute of it. I wish I could still be researching the book. Luckily, the women did write memoirs, and I went through and sifted and anything I could fact check against other sources I did. And I spent quite a bit of time in archives. Fortunately, a lot of the espionage material is well preserved. At the National Archives, I found Rose Greenhalgh's cipher, which was really fascinating, and also the little scrap of black silk that she used to hide her enciphered dispatches in. She would tuck the messages in this little scrap of black silk and then roll the silk into her courier's hair. She had a bunch of teenage couriers that she used to send across the lines. And at the New York Public Library, for another example, I found a lot of the death threats that Elizabeth Van Loo received from her Confederate neighbors. One of them was quite chilling. It was from a white supremacist group called the White Caps, and it said, quote, "Please give us some of your blood to write with," which was really frightening to read, you know, as I was sitting in the library, and I can't even imagine how Elizabeth Van Loo felt reading that back in 1864.
You know, reading this book, I was very surprised that I had never heard of any of these women. Were you surprised as well?
Well, there were a couple of academic bios. I was surprised that they didn't have more popular appeal or popular recognition. But it sort of made my job a little bit easier in that I could present a fresh portrait of them. If people had never heard of them, I could hopefully bring them to life in a way I thought that would suit them. And I'm glad to have sort of hopefully restored some of their historical due and just let people know about these incredible lives they lived.
You've also written other books about other strong women like Gypsy Rose Lee and Ada and Minna Everly. What is it that attracts you to these types of women?
Well, the short answer to that is I like to write about women whose lives I wish I lived. I'm really jealous of all of them. And writing about them is really the next best thing. But I find great pleasure and fun in digging up the lives of long forgotten women, women who bucked against convention and who were revolutionary in some way. And I always find that they have the most interesting stories to tell.
How did women in the Civil War, how did they effectively disguise themselves as men, as Emma Edmonds did?
There are about 400 women for both North and South who are approximated to have disguised themselves as men and enlisted in the war. And I came to the conclusion that most of them were able to get away with this because nobody had any idea what a woman would look like wearing pants. People were so used to seeing women's bodies pushed and pulled into exaggerated shapes by corsets and crinolines that the very idea of a woman wearing pants, let alone an entire army uniform, was so unfathomable that even if it were right in front of them, they really couldn't see it.
So far, you've written books that are historical nonfiction. Is there anyone in sort of a more contemporary kind of heroine that you think exhibits some of these same traits?
You know, I think it's very hard for people to be as daring today. There's not the same ability to shock anyone. Malala, who just won the Nobel Prize, I would have to say that she would probably be the modern day equivalent, just trying to better conditions and sort of a feminist in a time or a place that doesn't really appreciate that quality and that mindset.
Karen Abbott is the author of Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, Four Women Undercover in the Civil War. She'll be in Jackson on Thursday. Thank you, Karen Abbott.
Thanks so much for having me.